Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be discussing how new concepts of retirement are changing individual lives, and indeed, our entire culture. It's my pleasure to have two thoughtful, highly educated, experienced professional therapists to explore this topic. My guests are Astoria-based internal family systems therapist and trainer, Caitlin Stecker, and her dear friend of many decades, Wisconsin-based licensed clinical social worker in the field of humanistic psychotherapy, Jerry Rousseau. Caitlin has a private practice in Astoria. She's also the founder of Vital Elders, a monthly gathering open to the public at the Nettel Grange. Jerry's been a longtime clinical associate professor with the UW-Milwaukee Helen Bader School of Social Welfare, and I'm really looking forward to hearing their thoughts on this relevant topic. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning, Donna. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Donna, and good morning to all the listeners in Astoria from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, and Astoria and beyond, the World Wide Web. We have people probably listening to us in Finland right now. Anyway, before we start talking about how this is changing our culture, our world, this new concept of retirement, let's introduce you to the listeners, people who may not be familiar with you all. So, Jerry, do you want to start off?
Yes, I just want to add, since we're talking about this this very interesting transition in life called retirement, I'd like everybody to know that I just turned 77 years of age back in May, and I have been transitioning into my retirement over the last 9.5 years.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So, but you know, it's almost like it's not a fixed point, a destination in a way, because like you said, it's a transitional period. So you're in this liminal space, this what was, what might be, right? Would you say that?
Yes, I would definitely agree with that, and I'm enjoying it wholeheartedly.
Excellent. Thank you, Jerry. And Caitlin?
Yeah, I think what I would say about it is that we're really being asked to experience these times of life in a different way because we're living a lot longer generally, and so retirement is, in a sense, going to need to be redefined in order for us to really live the full life that we're being given now. And that's kind of where I'm at, is because of what I've been able to do and being here in Astoria for 35 years, I'm now working with the grandchildren of people that I initially saw 35 years ago. And I'm never going to retire in the sense of that I would ever totally stop doing what it is that I love and that I've been doing. And Vital Elders and Young Old Souls is one of the ways that I'm going to keep adding some different ways of people getting together and my being able to share what I want to be able to give to the community.
And Vital Elders has a website. Why don't you just mention that to people? Because you have a meeting every month.
Yes. It's vitalelders.org, no spaces. And it usually pops right up if you do vitalelders.org, which I'm thrilled about. And Paul Brady, I do kudos to him for being the webmaster that's been tending. And there's links of talks and other resources there, and some beautiful work that Paul's done on the website. So go check it out, vitalelders.org.
That's a resource, and we need resources as we are, you know, aging and experiencing this much longer lifespan that we all are, actually. So, Jerry, you did some research into the origins of the word retire. Why don't you let us know a little bit about that, since we're looking to redefine that word?
The origin of the word retirement goes back to a French word that first appeared in the 1500s, and that particular word meant to withdraw or to pull back from. Now, when I think about retirement, many people have the misconception that you stop doing something and it's almost like time just stops there. I like to think of retirement as transitioning from doing something into doing something else, and in many cases, doing many things.
Absolutely. But it can be a time that people have looked forward to in their lives, and yet it can also be a really scary time because, their labels have been tied up with their work. That happens to a lot of people. So, but this idea of retirement, maybe we need to look at it as you said, Jerry, as a time of reinvention. We reinvent ourselves, which is something that in the United States, certainly people do over and over again, because Jerry, tell us these statistics that you told me about the jobs in the US.
Well, retirement was really very different back when I was a child. I was born in 1948. So in many cases, retirement meant people had in the paper mill my father worked at, everybody had to retire at age 65. Today, statistics indicate that people, men and women, are going to have between 12 and 16 different jobs over the course of their lifetime. So theoretically, they're going to have 12 to 16 different periods of transition from doing one kind of work to another.
Yes, absolutely. And how people negotiate that, and the people around them negotiate that, is a pretty serious thing to think about, Caitlin, you have some thoughts about that.
Well, we were before the show talking about that we're at the time of summer solstice and graduations, and it's kind of an important growth process to look at. When we've completed something and yet we're not fully in something else. And to me, that kind of fits for what we've been calling retirement, is this time where supposedly, we're done with a work life. But now, because we are living so much longer, more healthy, and more able to continue to be active in our lives for many people, it really is as you were saying, a reinvention. And I think it's going to take people really looking at our life stages differently than we have in the past, that it isn't just this pulling out of lifetime, but being able to look at the many opportunities we have now if we do have the gift of living into our 70s, 80s, 90s, and maybe even hundreds, that there's many different incarnations that we can have, and they can be out of this. What I'm starting to say is like to not think of us as either young or old, but in a process of what aging can be. One of my friends says we should have some pro-aging products rather than anti-aging products, so that we could revision how we live these different stages of our life.
Well, a couple of things. One is, Jerry, when we had talked previously, Jerry said it's not to always jump into something. I mean, a lot of times people don't know what to do with themselves. One of the great things people can do, and one of the things that I don't know how we'd function in this country, in this world, without volunteers, without people who are able to, because they have finished a particular portion of their lives, maybe they're even working part-time, but and that also there are opportunities now for people to work into their 70s and 80s and even 90s. I talked to a woman at the Postal Service. She's almost 70, and she said, "We are valuable workers. We are because we have knowledge. We're not on our phones playing games all the time. We show up for work. We want to be there." And so now it's a different world for people who are becoming elders.
When I was growing up in Ashland, up on Lake Superior, I went to Catholic grade school. I had 12 years of Franciscan education. And when I was before puberty, I thought I was going to become a Franciscan monk or a priest. well, when puberty came along, that left me. And now that I'm in my transitioning into doing other things, the whole sense of ministry has really been very meaningful to me. So I have 8 different groups that I'm a member of, and I have several friends who have had difficult times in their life. So in my transitioning period, I really feel like I'm carrying out a particular kind of ministry in giving assistance to other people, my friends, and other people who need help.
Yes, absolutely. And we talked about the fact that people need to be preparing. You said you were preparing like 9 years kind of before you actually said, okay, I'm not going to show up every day at this particular place. But how do we create a life after that work life? I mean, do people have a vision? Do they, you know, are you aware that when you retire or transition, that it's going to affect other people?
Well, I think it's important to give thought to what a person wants to do in their life prior to retiring. A lot of people don't give thought to that. I remember when I was growing up at the paper mill that my dad worked at, men retired at age 65, and they were pretty much workaholics. They would work 7 days a week if they could. So when they actually reached that mandatory retirement age, they didn't have anything to involve themselves to fall back on. And it was uncanny. Within 3 to 4 years, a good number of those people died from alcoholism or depression or boredom. So I think it's important for people when you shouldn't just look at retirement the day before they have the big celebration for you. I think it's good to just muse about what sort of things do I have an interest to do that working is getting in the way of me being able to get involved in.
Meaning and purpose. And that we've talked about that, Caitlin, why don't you talk about that? If people do not have meaning and purpose in their lives, then they are really quite adrift.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely, I mean, that is a theme I think that's very important all through our life. But as we're focusing on this kind of later time, the idea of also, as you mentioned, Donna, being able in a sense choose where you put your energies rather than maybe the have to of making a living or supporting a family, and that's where often people can find actually even more meaningful, purposeful experiences in these later decades. And I think about the idea last night in one of the groups that I do, we talked about the idea of gap years, you know, that many now young ones are taking a time off after high school rather than immediately going to college and doing something different that they have wanted to do or explore. Traveling often is part of that. But it's interesting, we were talking about that, wouldn't it be great if we culturally started encouraging people to think about how they might be able to do gap years all their life at different times, and that to really then prepare for this idea that when you decide, say, you don't need to be in a working, making money job, if you can, to be able to cultivate some of those interests and things that you may have dabbled in when you were working, and that you get to explore more because you're available and available to to volunteer. And I just wanted to say, I'm kind of looking at all this from the perspective of, you know, we've added years to our life, but they've really been added in the middle of our life, not at just the end of our life. It's like that, and you know, Donna Chip Conley, who's got Modern Elder Academy, you know, talks about middle essence, the 45 to 65, 70 year old period in our life, that now we tend to be more able to even have a second, third, fourth, or 12th kind of work life, that we're doing something and pursuing that is of interest that we wouldn't have otherwise maybe made time for. Yeah.
Yes, and also, of course, the concept of work, like if you love what you're doing, and you might ever never say, I never want to retire because this work is nourishing to me and others. Mm-hmm. But if you have been suffering through whatever, mm-hmm. you know, job you're in and saying, oh, I can't wait until I can not do this anymore, then that's a whole different thing, too. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, I'm talking with Astoria-based internal family systems therapist and trainer, Caitlin Stecker, and Jerry Rousseau, who is, he's a man of many, many talents. He's been in the field of humanistic psychotherapy for decades and is now looking at reinvention of his life. We're talking about retirement, the new concept of retirement, and how it not only affects individuals today, as we are aging more in the middle of our lives, having more time to age and to be here on the planet, but also how it affects other people. I'd like you two to address the idea that when someone retires, it affects their home life as well, because the wife could say, I can't handle having him home every day. Or the husband could say, oh my gosh, she's here all the time, whatever it is. So how does the way people retire affect the relationships and the people around them?
Well, I'll jump in a minute just because I definitely have to say in my work and my practice, I have quite a few couples that, and especially those where one or both people traveled in their work. And so each of them had times when they were in the home by able to be in the home themselves without the partner, and they became appreciative of that time because it gave them a different experience in their life than just having their partner in their environment. And then realizing that many people didn't really think about the idea of then both being home, like you said, all the time. And not that you don't love the person you're with and love being with them and all of that, but there is something about having that time oneself energetically. And I've been working with people to negotiate that with each other, to be able to make that a priority, to really have those times that they can feel themselves in their own environment. But that means that the other person has to support that now in some way and find some other experience for them to be having during that time. And sometimes people feel a bit rejected or not appreciated when they're asked to make that space. And so sometimes it helps, I think, to excuse me, have other people that you're talking with that have similar kind of challenges and normalize those kinds of things, to be able to say, yeah, of course, this takes some kind of an adjustment.
Yeah. I want to underline what you said, Caitlin, about negotiating with your significant other. Mm-hmm. I think that's critically important. For example, my wife likes a lot of private time. She grew up as an only child in Bavaria, and she's an only child who really pretty much likes to be by herself. So I tell the story that if she was at home and one of her grandparents would say, oh, Dagmar, why don't you go out and play with the other children? She would say, well, I think I'm going to go up to my room and read. On the other hand, I'm the kind of only child who says, where are the other kids? I want to be with them. So that was critical for us to really, and ongoing, talk about how much time we need private, even when we're sitting together, how much time we need to be in silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm, good point. Yes. And then, of course, there are these expectations that happen when someone retires about, you know, family, about babysitting, grandchildren, and mm-hmm. and all of that. So and where do people who are retiring or reinventing themselves find their socialization when they don't have the water cooler? Because even those kinds of relationships at work, even if they're not like deep soul kind of relationships, they're still vital to us.
That's especially true in most work environments where there's a social culture that people develop with people they work with. It basically has nothing to do with work. But being at work gives them the context to interact with each other. And when people retire, it's important to really recognize that that whole social culture is not going to be there. And it's going to take some work if you want to continue to relate to people that you've really enjoyed getting to know in the work environment.
That's one of the things that prompted me to begin Vital Elders a year and a half ago, that allows people to come in and out of our experience. Right now, once a month, we might expand that to more, because the having a place where you can go and be with people that you've gotten to know just as people, not in any particular role or different aspect of work, has been, I think, really meaningful to people. And also just to share, I mean, it is also young old souls and, Vital Elders and young old souls, and that we have younger people too that are saying, you know, I want to think about and plan for my full life. And I want to be able to look at, yes, what is aging, and how do I want to, at, you know, 30, prepare for when I won't be in a regular particular job anymore. And of course, that's going to also be quite a challenge, I think, in our new world, how it has gives us different kind of challenges. And just the idea that it's really appropriate to be kind of looking at one's life in this broad, huge, you know, kind of sense of time that we may have, and how that later time now, again, that didn't really exist even 50 years ago, the idea that people at 45 would start maybe their most important experience of being in the world professionally, because they had the experience and they found something that they loved, and that literally reinventing oneself and having another 20, 30 years in an experience. It's a whole different way of looking at how we age.
And I think our young people today are not wedded to labels and jobs the way that we used to be. Yeah. I think one of the challenges for someone who is leaving a huge label in the workforce is that they then don't know who they are. They're like, who am I without being president of this company, or be, you know, so then they're questioning. But honestly, work is not who we are, although in the United States, that's typically the first question, what do you do? Because we think that what we do is who we are, and that's really not the case.
It's not, but it's also, you know, on the same token, I would say, and you know this, Don, it's also a way we express who we are, and that a way, and hopefully, and this is going to be, again, tough with all of the changes, you know, technologically and AI and all the rest of it. It's like, yeah, how do we express this essence of ourself in the world and share it with others if we want to share it with others, or just if we want to experience that ourselves? Again, change, and I just have to say that I'm very dedicated to the idea of helping people really come to have a companionship with grief, that you can know that through a full life, there will be many times of loss and grief, intentional, you know, things that happen that we don't have any influence on in our life, but there will be a lot of loss that we experience if we live a full life. It just, if we're in lots of relationships, we're going to experience a lot of loss in our life. And it really is part of, to me, graceful, you could say, aging is being able to be with those losses and recognize that they're impacting us.
Indeed, that's true. And we just have a few minutes left, so I want to give each of you an opportunity to say any things maybe we haven't talked about, any last things that you'd like for folks to know. So, Jerry, please give us your thoughts.
Well, I want to come back to something you mentioned earlier, Donna, and that is the sense of anxiety that people can experience when they approach and move into retirement. The involvement we have in work really gives us a place to sort of invest or bind that kind of free-floating anxiety that's just part of the human experience. So as people approach retirement and as they transition into it, I think it's important for people to really give themselves time to get a sense as to what they're drawn to being exploring and doing, rather than try to get away from that sense of anxiety by just jumping into something quickly.
And it reminds me of the Rumi admonition: move from within, move from within. Don't let the outside world push you around. So if you are retired or in that reinvention period, it's a time to just see what comes up and like, oh, I would like to be involved with theater. I hadn't thought about that. You know, that's coming to me intuitively. You're listening to your body wisdom. And that's, thank you, Jerry. That's a wonderful point. Caitlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just say, you know, having the space, and you could say opportunity, to create one's life, maybe more than when we're working, when so much of our awake life is taken up with something that we're, you know, needing to go to and do. Also, you know, takes some different skills. And I would say, you know, to be able to actually cultivate some groups of people that share your life experience enough and go out to lunch or breakfast or whatever and talk with people about the way that they're navigating their life in retirement or whatever we call it, and have, you know, almost like a consultation group of friends that really support you in this new life that you have, not thinking that you have to do it all by yourself, and particularly not having that with, if one is, you know, in a relationship, that one's partner's the one that has to be the primary person in that, because they're going through their own experience too, and it needs to be able to be something that you both get support for. But each person, that's the biggest thing I want to say, is find a way to gather at least just two, maybe two people, maybe three, but to just have a bit of a, what we call a support group for the process that you're in.
Excellent. So thank you so much. I wish we had more time. It's such a big, big topic. It's affecting all of us in our world today. Thank you so much, Caitlin Secker, Jerry Rousseau. And thank you all to all listeners of KMUN, the KMUN community family. My gratitude to Viri for her engineering today.
Yes, yay.
And yay, Viri. And she's a young old soul for sure. And also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Talk of Our Towns airs the first Thursday of each month at 9 a.m. And I so appreciate you supporting all of our public affairs programs. Until we meet again, well, actually right now, let's just take a second and take a very deep healing breath together.